Welcome, loves. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, I hope you'll forgive me for being a little bit, all right, a lot hot under the collar right now. But I think I have very good reason to be hot under the collar, and I will explain to you why. Now, you've been listening to me for how long? 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, during major tragic breaking news events, during major blizzards, 50 people dead, etc. And I think I'm a pretty reasonable individual, despite some of the bad publicity from 10 years ago, which I eventually showed to be just that, bad publicity with no basis in foundation, and that I, in fact, was correct with my assertions. However, you guys are going to love this one. I mean, I have no explanation for this whatsoever. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying that many local medical doctors are personal friends. Many local medical doctors are personal friends. I have their cell phone numbers in my phone. And when my retina detached, I was on the phone with four or five of these personal friends who are medical doctors, and each of them got back to me within 5 minutes, some of them saying, hey, you better go to Buffalo General because you might have had a stroke. Others saying, yeah, it sounds like a detached retina, Tom. I think you're right. So the established point here is I've got nothing against medical doctors, and in fact, I get along quite well with them. So, what happened today absolutely takes the cake. It absolutely takes the cake. Now, at the risk of revealing too much, the final surgery that I'm going to need is just, it's a hernia surgery, and it's not like a horrible thing. It's not the worst thing in the world. It's just, it's not really, excuse me. Yes, I'm in great shape. Hold on. Sorry about that. Oh, that was good. Did I get any on you? Okay, good. So anyway, where was I? Yes. So I got to get this hernia surgery, right? Because I got this bump on my stomach, which keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So I'm not going to name names because I don't know. This might be a matter I'm going to take up with some other people. So I'm not going to name names. But I was referred to a local surgeon who supposedly, well, I know he does hernia surgeries. So I was trying to figure out with his office people if we could possibly move the schedule up, which they did. And then I had some questions about the insurance coverage for said situation because my plan does not cover doctors at certain hospitals, okay, much like yours doesn't cover doctors at certain hospitals. So anyway, I can document this all. It's all on my cell phone. Did I call the doctor's office on several occasions? Yes, I did, because when you keep getting a voicemail from the so-called surgical scheduling person who says, hey, I'm going to be busy with doctors doing other things, so just leave a message. First of all, if you're a surgical schedule person, why aren't you on the phone doing surgical scheduling? That's number one. Number two, if people call you who have legitimate questions and are not being impolite, perhaps a bit insistent, but are not being impolite, the least you could do is call them back more than one time. Does anybody disagree with that? I got one phone call in return, and I missed the phone call. I did receive a package of information on the pre-surgical scheduling, but once I received that and realized that where they wanted to do the surgery was not covered by my health plan to the extent that it should be covered by my health plan. So anyway, and we're talking about a hernia surgery. Now, here's the important point, and this is why I am really... Okay, I'm not hot under the collar. I'm super pissed off right now because this doctor, his office had the nerve to call my doctor and say, well, he doesn't do hernia surgeries. Well, if he doesn't do hernia surgeries, why do I have paper on my desk that says your schedule for the hernia surgery is on such and such a date? That's an outright lie. Why would you call? Why would the surgeon call the my primary, with whom, by the way, I'm also friends, and say he doesn't do hernia surgeries if, in fact, we already had a date to do the hernia surgery? Who's lying? Am I lying or are they lying? And then to call my primary like I'm some pain in the butt patient. Would you like me to name the 10 doctors I personally know, some of whom I am a patient of and who absolutely love me? To me, it was extremely unethical what they did. And I'm super pissed off right now because, quite frankly, over the years, look, I've had enough of being lied about. I've had enough misinformation and disinformation on the internet and elsewhere to last a lifetime. And, you know, honest to goodness, if I Google myself, it's like, wow, is that the same person that I look at in the mirror every day? Because it sure doesn't sound like the same person I look at in the mirror every day. But one thing that I'm really adamant about is don't lie about me, and don't tell my doctor, who is a friend of mine, don't tell him that you don't do hernia surgeries when we had a date. Actually, we had two dates for hernia surgery because I had to move one of the dates up, and then I wanted to change it to a different hospital where my health insurance actually works, more so than it does in other places. So, yeah, I'm a little bit irritated right now. Actually, no, as I've said, I'm quite pissed off about that. First of all, I think it was extremely unethical to lie about a patient, extremely unethical, and it was extremely unethical to call a provider and say, well, we can't help this patient because we don't do hernia surgeries, and he called the office four times in one day. Well, excuse me, but if your surgical scheduling person does not return phone calls, why wouldn't you call an office several times in one day to try to track that person down? To me, this is like one of the most unethical things that I've ever experienced in the world of being a patient of the local medical community, of which, by the way, I've been a huge supporter for many years. How much money did we raise for Children's Hospital? We raised a hell of a lot of money for Children's Hospital, and I'd be happy to help raise money for any other hospital as well. We've done things for Roswell Park and other organizations, and it's just I cannot believe what I experienced today, and I found this all out right after I stepped in a big cold puddle of water with socks on, which I assure you is not a lot of fun. But, you know, There's an internet site, who is the AH? And I think you know what AH stands for. Who is the AH? Is it a patient who is desperately trying to get information about whether a surgeon has privileges at a local hospital that actually accepts my health insurance? Or is that the person, or is the doctor's office that had scheduled a hernia surgery and then says, we don't do hernia surgeries? I'm sorry, any objective person would say that doctor's office, which I'm not going to name, is the AH. And here's what's interesting. Somebody with whom I used to pal around, when I mentioned this physician, this surgeon, to him, he basically was unimpressed and said, if I were you, I'd find somebody else. So I don't know what I can do to rectify this situation, but get it? Rectify? I think I just called somebody a rectum. But anyway, I'm furious right now. I'm absolutely furious. Don't lie. Don't tell lies. And again, it's real simple. If you don't, I mean, here's a real simple concept anybody can understand. If you don't do hernia surgery, then why did you schedule a hernia surgery? And then why are you telling my other doctor, my primary, that you don't do hernia surgery when we scheduled the hernia surgery? I am pissed. There is something fundamentally unethical about what happened today to me. And that is the explanation I had from my primary doctor. And if you are a physician out there listening and you do hernia surgeries and you do them at ECMC, please feel free to drop me an email and I can provide you with the 10 or 15 doctors' names who will assure you that I am not a pain in the butt patient. I'm a very easy patient. And I've got doctors who will attest to that coming out my wazoo. Whatever the wazoo happens to be. So, anyway, I'm glad I had a chance to vent. Thank you very much. But there are so many things that are wrong with this picture. First of all, again, you know, I've had probably since 2017, I've had maybe roughly 30 procedures done that involved surgical scheduling, okay? So it's not like I'm some newcomer to this whole situation of scheduling a surgery. And I've dealt with some very big practices. One I non-affectionately call the factory, because it literally is a factory. You go in there at any one time and you're going to see about 50 people waiting. I call it the factory. And even at the factory, I never had that kind of issue getting in touch with the person who schedules surgeries. Never in my life. It was always, there might have been an hour delay, but they always got back with me. So I really, you know, again, it's one of these things. I've been down this road before. I know how the game is played. I know, I understand a little bit about how this situation works. But what I don't understand is why a so-called surgeon's office would lie about what it does and does not do to the referring physician's office who sent me there to begin with. So I'm pretty upset about that, and I'm not sure what the lawyers have to say, but I'm sure I'll be talking with one over the weekend. That is how absolutely steamed I am about this particular situation. And it's not a big deal. Well, I mean, it is a big deal because there is some discomfort involved, and I don't really like having something that looks like a giant pimple on my abdomen at all times. But I don't know, can you blame me for being a little bit upset? Again, fundamental point. If you don't do hernia surgery, then why did you schedule the hernia surgery? And why do I have papers saying you scheduled a hernia surgery if you don't do it? Why would you lie to my doctor? And I can only give you information that was given to me by my doctor's office. And I'm talking about the person who does most of my work. And it's just extremely unethical. In so many ways, unethical. And I'm sorry, but don't bitch because a patient tries to call your surgical scheduler repeatedly because your surgical scheduler is too busy with other duties to call you back. And it's not like I am very specific when I book appointments with anybody. Hey, do me a favor. Don't call between 2 and 6 because I'm on the air and it makes it very, very difficult for me to answer the phone and talk to doctors from 2 to 6 unless it's an absolute emergency kind of situation, which if it was, I probably wouldn't be on the air, right? I mean, that just makes sense. So my phone has been on. And, yeah, I did miss one phone call, and by my records on my cell phone, that's the only call that came in from the office. But, I'm a little bit hot under the collar. I'm a little bit pissed off, and it feels good to basically, poop all over the radio. Sorry if I got any on yours. I apologize for that. If you use a toothbrush, it might come out a little bit easier. But, oh, my goodness, I've never had a day like today with something that should be so easy. I mean, I realize it's probably not a big money surgery, but hey, it's big enough for me that I don't feel like paying for it out of pocket, and I sure don't feel like paying 40% of it out of pocket. That's absolutely absurd. So anyway, the more I think about it, I think you Canadians have it right with your socialized medicine. I think the Brits have it right with socialized medicine. It's got to be better than what we have now. It has to be better than what the United States has now. And you know what? I don't believe anymore this nonsense about, oh, well, in socialized medicine, you have to wait a year just to get an MRI. You have to wait a year for this. You have to wait 2 years for that. I'm not believing the propaganda anymore. Our health care in this country is controlled by and run by the insurance companies. And the insurance companies, to me, are as corrupt as any organized crime syndicate could possibly be. And all the bitching I hear about Canadian healthcare and healthcare in the UK, you know, listen, go back and listen to tapes of this show. We have so many Canadians calling in saying, yeah, they take a big bite out of my paycheck, but I also don't have to worry about going bankrupt in the event I need healthcare. And I'm sorry, but it's the way it is. How many Canadians need to call in and say, I love my OHIP system before people say, you know, maybe the American insurance companies are full of crap. Maybe they just don't want to lose their big money-making monopoly over what is the most important thing in people's lives, which is their health. So I'm increasingly leaning toward socialized medicine, and I am more and more getting away from this propaganda by the insurance companies and the American health industry about why it's such a bad idea. Socialized medicine is one of the most popular programs in the United Kingdom. It is one of the most popular programs in the United Kingdom. If you went to the United Kingdom today and you said, we're taking away socialized medicine and we're going to go to the American way of doing things, there would be riots in the street. And the same thing with Canada. If you went to Ontario and said, we're taking away OHIP and we're going to go to the American way of providing health care, there would be riots in the street. So if these people hate what they're under so much, why are those programs so popular? I don't understand it. And look, as a general rule, I would argue that you shouldn't be somebody who plays by the rules, who pays your premiums, who pays your taxes, who does everything like you're supposed to do it, and then, God forbid, you run into some issue or series of issues over which you really had no control, and you end up a goodly amount in the hole because of it. That should not happen. But again, the healthcare industry in this country has such a great propaganda machine because there are billions and billions and billions of dollars at stake. So I say, viva socialized medicine. And if I don't say it, I am increasingly leaning to that situation. I wasn't going to take calls on this, but I don't know. Maybe I will. I got some people on hold here who want to chime in. Let me just ask you guys, and I've got other things that I want to get into, but who is the AH? Who is the AH? A patient who calls, ooh, four times in one day. And was I belligerent on the phone? No, I was not. I said, look, I'm not trying to drive you crazy, but I'm just trying to get some information. I was very polite. And I challenge, if there's any issues on this, I challenge them to produce any recording of me being rude on the phone, because I was not rude on the phone. But I think it's very rude to call another doctor. I think it's unethical to call another doctor and say, we don't do X surgery, when I had an appointment scheduled with that doctor for the surgery he says he doesn't do. Come on. You can't BS a BSer, folks. All right, I'll take some calls in this kind of stuff, because I've got other stuff involving your visits to the emergency room, because a friend of mine got into a sticky wicket last night. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. You know, it's like I say, it's not. This will be the final one, and it's not even that big a deal. You know, I'll be back on the air in no time whatsoever. It's not like neck fusion surgery. It's not like open heart surgery. It's not even like retina repair or anything like that. This is just a cut and dry, hey, we got to stick your belly back in and put some mesh over it, and you'll be good to go, and you're going to be a little bit uncomfortable for a few days, but so what? I'm used to that. It's just going to be dilated, and I'm a happy camper. My intestines will not be, but I'm a happy camper. Actually, 227 at News Radio 930 WBEN. So let me ask you, based on the information I've provided, and I would swear a statement under oath, okay? I would swear under oath that everything I've related to you is a true and exact representation of what I dealt with on the phone today. Who is the AH? Is it the patient who calls trying to straighten something out regarding a surgery, or is it the office that does not return phone calls in a prompt manner, and then calls the referring doctor and says, well, we don't do that surgery, even though we scheduled the surgery, which I can prove. These are provable facts. I don't say things I can't prove, and I can prove everything I've said. It's 228 at News Radio 930 WBEN. All righty, it is Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. By the way, real quickly, I just want to make mention of something, too. If you are looking for live local music over the weekend, there's a Facebook page you need to go to. It is Jim Kadrina's Facebook page, and his name is spelled K-A-D-R-Y-N-A, K-A-D-R-Y-N-A. And he'll tell you everybody who's playing everywhere and what time they're starting and all that kind of stuff. Doesn't list the cover charges, but, I mean, he doesn't get paid for doing it. Jim Kadrina is what the Buffalo News Gusto used to be and what Nightlife used to be. So the reason I bring that up is had a chance last night to see, actually, the guy was a doctor, the boys in Captain Jack, a Billy Joel tribute band. And I've got to tell you something, for two guys, one a singer, one a keyboard player, and some backing tracks, they were absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. Mrs. Bowerly and I, we were really tired last night, and we thought it was going to be an early night. We ended up staying until the very end of the show, and I ran into my cousin Pammy there too, which was nice. I haven't seen Pammy in several years. Pammy is very, very hot, and I'm just saying that, you know, there are worse things in the world if, you know, we weren't occupied. Sorry, Pammy. I can't help myself. Here is Peggy in Buffalo. Peggy, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the program. Agree, disagree, what's on your mind?
Well, you talked about socialized medicine, and if you like public housing, you'll love public medicine.
Well, we used to live in public housing in the Sheridan Projects, now known as Sheridan Parksides. Mm-hmm. And I will agree that when Mom had to put a bucket of coal over a hole in the bathroom floor to keep the walls to keep the rats from coming in, yes. But let me ask you, if you love the way the healthcare system is run right now, I think you'd really love socialized medicine because it's a lot easier to deal with, and you're not going to go bankrupt.
Well, it is a long wait to get attention in Europe. I have an uncle in Ireland who's been waiting for heart surgery for 4 or 5 years, and that laid back, we'll get to you when we get to you, doesn't work as far as medicine goes. Also, keep in mind, people like Mick Jagger came to New York to have his heart surgery. Madonna came to New York for her recent problems. So there must be something to having this kind of medicine. If you take the money out of healthcare, smart people won't go into it.
Smart people aren't going into it now because they don't want $400,000 and $500,000 worth of student debt to get jobs that pay $200,000 a year to start. Maybe. Depending on your specialty. Forget about Ireland for just a moment because I'm sure we're going to hear from people in Ontario who are under OHIP. And if you would go back and listen to some of the shows we've done from people who have called in from Ontario, they're going to tell you that they have no issue with it whatsoever. And the American people have been propagandized by the health insurance companies into believing that socialized medicine is the worst thing ever. But go ahead.
Also, you mentioned about returning calls. The people who know have left the jobs, and the new people don't want to answer the phone because they're not prepared. They would rather you text because then they can have an answer prepared to send back to you. And this generation coming up actually doesn't want to answer the phone.
I disagree with that based on experience because in the past 6 years, I've had like 30 procedures done. I've dealt with numerous surgical schedulers, and they have all gotten back in a prompt way, especially in emergency situations. So I disagree with the premise. It's this one particular office of which I speak, and I cannot believe what they did. Calling my doctor and saying, we don't do that kind of surgery, even though we had that kind of surgery scheduled. Are you kidding me?
Well, that is a big blunder. So you don't want them to deal with you anyway. You know,
no, I do not. I do not. Absolutely do not. I actually called off the surgery a couple of days ago because, look, I just said this obviously isn't working. You're not getting back with me. I need information that you're not giving me. But I don't think it is a an industry-wide problem because this is the first time I've ever run into this out of, let's just call it, round it off, 30 surgical procedures in the last 6 years. So it's not like this is the first time at the rodeo. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I understand that. And it's frustrating if you try to be pleasant and understanding from their point of view, and they still don't return calls.
Well, let's just say this. I mean, here's evidence of how pleasant I am. I'm looking at my cell phone now. I have 15 doctors' private cell phone numbers in my call, in my cell phone. I don't ask them for their numbers. They give me their numbers and say, hey, Tom, if you ever run into a tight, call me. So that's how big a pain in the butt I am. These doctors fall over themselves to give me their home cell phone, their private cell phone numbers. But I mean, I'm sorry about the person in Ireland. But I mean, my question is, and I don't know if you have the answer to this. And I'm not trying to give you a hard time, my love. But is it an emergent situation or is it one that can wait?
Well, when it's your heart, it's an emergency. But I don't know exactly because sometimes if that doctor doesn't do that procedure, they might put it off. But if the doctor does the procedure, like you and I had heart surgery around the same time, beginning in November, December, 5 years ago. And that doctor who did that, he gets people in and gets them taken care of and gets them out. And
right.
That's what I wanted.
Well, my situation was an emergent situation. If I didn't have the surgery fast, I was going to die. I mean, it's really quite that simple back in December of 2017. I mean, there are all kind of heart conditions, and it might be that the person you know in Ireland might have a heart condition that does not need emergency or almost emergency care. It might be something that can be put off. Or maybe, you know, again, you'd know more specifics than I, but are you personally happy with what you go through with the American healthcare system? I mean, generally speaking,
no.
I have been, but I've been turned off tremendously here in the last few months.
Oh, no, I'm very dissatisfied with the way things go. And again, doctors seem to make some big mistakes as far as where they're sending you and what's going on. We had a doctor who sent us to one hospital that doesn't have cardiac care anymore, and the doctor who sent us thought it was a heart attack situation. So that doctor should have known that we shouldn't have gone to that hospital. So,
well, anything else from you, my love?
No, but I just wish you luck with the doctor thing, and I enjoy your program.
Well, you're very, very kind. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I'd love to hear from some Canadians on OHIP because I want to know the good, the bad, the ugly of your version of socialized medicine. And I will maintain that if some politician or if there was a law that was passed tomorrow saying we're switching to the American model of healthcare, and if they did it in the UK, I think there would be riots in the street. So if it's so bad, why are those programs so popular? That's a reasonable question to ask, even for a filthy, disgusting capitalist like myself. Here's Arthur. Arthur's theme on WBEN. Arthur, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Tom. I just, with my experience, I went out with a lady from Toronto back in the late 80s, early 90s. And as I recall, with OHIP, her mother was on a list for a hip transplant for over a year, and so I don't know if it's gotten better or whatever, but I just remember that plain as day that she had to go. And then I said to her, her name was Rochelle, she was a peeler. You know what a peeler is?
I'm afraid to tell you that I don't know what a peeler is.
Well, she was a stripper, so that's she used to say she was a peeler.
Well, actually, then, I'm kind of glad that I don't, you know what? I am not pure, believe me, but I just don't go to strip clubs. It's just not my bag.
Well, that's all right. It's all right.
I don't judge anybody who does. I'm just saying, I mean, look, women from Siberia have to make a living somehow in Canada, okay?
That's right. That's right. That's right. She made a hell of a living, I'll tell you that.
I'm sure she downtown, those dollar bills Colorado. Add up, but those loonies are tough to place, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, you know it. But her mother, like I said, was over a year. And like I said, I don't know if it's better, but over a year for getting a hip transplant. And I just recall that she had old hip. And then the one comment she always said is that, why does our premier go to the States for anything that he needs? And that's as I recall. But I don't know if it got any better.
But in the United States, the median wait time for a hip replacement, a hip transplant, is 5 months. So you're saving maybe presumably 7 months, but you don't have to worry about going bankrupt by waiting an extra 7 months for your hip transplant in Ontario. In the United States, you go to the wrong hospital that isn't under your health plan, you are screwed. I mean, I'm gonna have to sell my body at truck stops.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't disagree there. I was in the hospital with COVID for over 4 weeks, and saw the bill, what they charged for the 4 weeks, it was almost $90,000. And if I didn't have insurance, I would have been up a creek. So,
what was it with the insurance? If you don't mind me asking,
what do you mean? What was it? I paid out of pocket. I paid $250.
Wow! Well, I think I know what plan you have, actually. I don't need to know, but I think I know the name of the plan that you have. But in my case, it's significantly more. I'll say that.
It's a state worker plan. It's a state worker plan. It's no secret. We have wonderful insurance.
You do. And so do former police officers, surviving spouses of dead police officers. They've got great plans. I know widows and widowers of police officers who will not remarry because they do not want to lose the health benefits that they've got. And that, by the way, is one of the advantages of taking a job of being a police officer. No, you're not going to make $1 million a year, but the trade-off is you get a decent pension and you get phenomenal benefits, including a pension. So yes. I can't – how can I hold that against you? That was part of the deal society made with you, and I don't hold that against you at all. But think about this. If you had to pay 20%, let's say, or 40% of $90,000, could you do that without sending your daughter and wife out to the streets?
No. I mean, I don't know of anybody that really could. It's – like I said, it's just – it's – The price is astronomical, and like I said, if I didn't have the insurance, I don't know what. And that's why I try to impress upon younger people that I know that they say, I don't need to get health insurance. I said, well, there's many cases like you're talking. You go bankrupt, lose your home, anything, if you don't have the money to pay. And that's unfortunate.
My friend, you need health. Everybody needs health insurance. Now, look, like anything else, it's a statistical probability thing. And you have to know your family history. You have to know your own health. And you have to decide what is right for you. And as far as, do I take the 600 deductible plan? Do I take the 3,000 deductible plan? And typically, but not always, the younger you are, the more you can get away with paying less up front and then more down the line. But as you become older and you're out jogging and fall down in your face, we'll get to that in a little bit, it becomes more problematical. But look, I mean, I'm glad that you only had to pay $250 out of a $90,000 bill. My heart surgery was $200,000. I'm going to repeat that, $200,000. And my out-of-pocket with the plan I was on at that point was pretty much nothing.
It's awesome, yeah. Like I said, with Canada, my experience from somebody that I knew was a year wait. And this was, like I said, late 80s, early 90s. I don't know if it's better now, but it was over a year wait. And I always remember her saying, why does our premier go to the States? Because I said, man, that's pretty good. She goes, but the waiting was the thing that I thought was crazy.
You know, as far as people coming to the United States, I mean, you raise an excellent point. But, I mean, the way of the world is, look, if you've got the money, you go wherever you want for whatever you want. If you want a Rolls Royce, you're going to go directly to the UK and buy your Rolls Royce and have it shipped or flown to you. And if you're Mick Jagger, you can go anywhere you want. Hey, look at Joel Giambra. When he had his cancer surgery, where'd he go? He went to New York City.
Sloan Kettering, yeah.
I forget the name of exactly where he went, but
Sloan Kettering, that's the cancer. Okay. Yeah.
There's some great – I must say that we have some unbelievably talented doctors in Buffalo, and we have people coming literally from around the world, and I will name names because I can stand behind what I'm saying. We have people from all over the world who come to Buffalo General for heart surgery because Buffalo General is absolutely excellent.
Yes, it is. That's where I was for the COVID, and the care that I had there was outstanding.
I cannot disagree with that. Anything else you want to chime in with here, Arthur? And
I don't usually get to call in, but my experience is that I wanted to bring up about Canada and why just that thinking about her now, it brought back good memories. You know what I mean?
Good memories. Yeah, well, presumably she's a long way away from that brass pole at this point, and probably...
Well, that was the name of one of the places, the Brass Rail Fillmore's.
That's Jesus. probably more information than I needed to know.
You're the kind of guy you could talk to very easily.
Well, I appreciate that, and yes, that is one of my strengths. I will not deny that. But I must tell you, I've done some pretty wild things in my life, and strip clubs just never did it for me. But I thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you kindly. I mean, my basic premise is why look when you can touch? I mean, I'm sorry, was that out loud? I'm afraid so. And no, if my wife is listening, that's not a big surprise. Okay, let's go to Jerry in Tonawanda on WBEN. Jerry, what's on your mind, sir?
Hey, Tom. First off, does Tammy like older guys? Just kidding.
Tammy.
Didn't you say Tammy at the beginning of the show? You're talking about Tammy was hot?
No, I think you may have misheard me, unless I'm totally losing my mind and I forgot I said the name Tammy.
I thought it was
Tammy. Oh, Pam. No, my cousin. No, she's got a phenomenal guy. I love him. Met him last night. He's a great guy. And it's my cousin. It's my cousin we're talking about. Come on.
Well, I didn't hear that part. I'm sorry. I was just
But she's anyway, super hot. I'm not going to lie.
Anyway, I was going to say, with the deal with you and you're getting a mesh, and why not just not get a mesh? Just go on living.
You mean just like a wrap, like a girdle?
No, just don't do anything. I'll tell you my experience. I'm 73. When I was 50, I had diverticulosis, and I had to go through wearing the colostomy bag and then had it reversed. Aye. And then they put a mesh in, and everything was fine, right? And I work for a delivery company, so yep. I'm lifting packages every day. And about a month later, the mesh broke because I could see it because I had a little tummy stick out.
Yep.
So I called my doctor up, and I told him about it, and he says, I don't remember the exact words, but basically he says we can, I had all full insurance that cover everything, so I wasn't worried. And he said, well, we can set up a time and you can come in and we'll redo it.
That happens in 20% of the cases. 20% of the cases, they have to redo the operation. My deal, with the surgeon who doesn't do hernia surgery. I mean, this is hilarious because I remember the conversation. They were going to go in, I believe the term is robotically, and they were going to slide the mesh in and put the intestines back into place, and then, I was going to be laid up for about 3, 4, or 5 days, and then back on the air. No big deal.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, so my case, I chose not to do it. I said, screw it. I don't even want the mesh. And I said, and I went on, and so that's 23. That's 23 years later now, and I've never had a problem. And I do a physical every year, and my doctor doesn't even bring it up anymore.
Oh, that's good.
So I'm just saying. I mean, knock on wood. Come on, knock on wood, Tom.
Well, no. I'm happy for you. Just mine is getting to the point where something, something has got to be done because it's it ain't getting better. And the thing. Look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not practicing medicine. But the issue with hernias is if they become strangulated and you are unable to pass what you're supposed to pass through your intestines, then it's a big problem because you'll be in deep. Well, you'll be in deep. You know what?
Okay, yeah, like I said, every case is different, and so I understand, but I just wanted to mention that I didn't have it done.
I appreciate it.
Different where I didn't have to, so maybe mine wasn't as bad as yours, so.
No, mine at this point is supposedly minor, but I keep saying to myself, if it's minor, how come I keep having to push my intestines back in? Sorry to be a little bit graphic there. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
You bet.
All right. I mean, I'm such a glutton for punishment. I think I'm going to be recircumcised. I mean, I'm just saying. All right. So, and we'll continue this for a little. I would love to hear from Canadians. I really would love to hear from Canadians because you have OHIP. And every time I've opened the phone to this, you guys basically mock the American system and say, what are you guys doing? And I know they take a big bite out of your paycheck for your health benefits, but the trade-off is you don't have to worry about $90,000 hospital bills, right? Am I right? And I've got other stories about going to the ER, which will involve you, because I know a fellow younger than I who took a nasty tumble last night and ended up in the ER and probably looks as though he went about five rounds with Mike Tyson in his prime, which is something that is like the stuff of nightmares. That and being hit by Lawrence Taylor at full burst in his prime. Oh, no, thank you. Or Night Train Lane. Anyway, it is, you're surprised I knew those names, huh? Thank you, Internet. 258 at News Radio 930 WBEN. See, you guys are like the best medicine there is because, you guys are awesome. So we'll take more calls coming up. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I want to really hear from Canadians because I'll tell you something. This, the healthcare system in America, I'm sorry, it is, the word I'd like to use, but I can't. It's really messed up. And I'm frankly getting a little sick of dealing with it. On News Radio 930 WBEN.